Once again, my name is Darren Roberts, and today I'll be discussing some of the research that we've done for one of the objectives for my degree at the University of Nebraska. So the title is Active Crop Canopy Sensor Optimal Spatial Scale for In-Season Variable Rate Nitrogen Application in Corn. So here we have a high clearance nitrogen application system. As we can see, the booms are getting pretty wide on these things. I think as a farmer considers whether or not to adopt this sensor technology for nitrogen management, one of the obvious questions that he would ask is, how many sensors do I need? Where do I put them on the boom? Do I need a sensor over every row? Or possibly, what is the fewest amount of sensors I can get away with and still accurately assess the end status as I move through the field? A lot of the previous research with these sensors was done at Oklahoma State University in wheat, and they looked at the spatial scale in wheat and decided on a pretty fine scale to sense and apply to. So as we assess these sensors for use in corn, the specific objective for this study was to determine the optimal number of active crop canopy sensors per 24 corn rows to properly account for the spatial variability of in-season plant end status. The specific sensor that we used for this study was the Holland Scientific ACS210 crop circle sensor. It measures crop canopy reflectance at 590 nanometers and 880 nanometers. And to analyze the data, we used this chlorophyll index that was developed by Anatoly Gittelson at the University of Nebraska a few years ago. And in his study, he compared a variety of vegetation indices. And what he showed was with this chlorophyll index, there was a linear relationship between this index and the increase in chlorophyll content in the plant, whereas other indices tended to have a curvilinear response, meaning that they kind of saturated out and weren't able to detect as well the differences in chlorophyll content as that chlorophyll content increased in the plant. So these are the four studies that we collected sensor data from, or the four fields we collected data from this summer. They were located in central Nebraska, all within about a mile and a half of each other. We went to each field and collected sensor data over 24 consecutive rows. The growth stages are listed there, range from V9 to V17, which we thought would give a good representation of the corn growth stage when mid-season N applications would probably be occurring. We had four sensors that were available to us, so we mounted them on the back of a John Deere high clearance vehicle in this manner. So this diagram just shows how we had it set up, how we had the sensors mounted on the boom. They were mounted to the back and right of the vehicle. The spacing between the rows was 0.91 meters, so that was the spacing of the sensors, or 36-inch rows. The GPS antenna was mounted in the center on the top of the vehicle, and the distance between the GPS antenna and the boom where the sensors were at was 2.43 meters, or about 8 feet. So we started off and went from west to east and collected sensor data over these four rows, turned around, came back, collected it for the north four rows, and we did this for the 8-row pass to the north, 8-row pass to the south, which gave us 24 rows worth of data. And after this, I knew, since we knew the offsets of the sensors in relation to the GPS antenna, we could go in and separate out the rows. Once we'd done that, the question we considered was, what is our finest spatial scale that we will look at? And what we decided was the row spacing, 0.91 by 0.91 meters, would be the finest pixel size that we would look at. So with ArcMap, we averaged the sensor readings in each of the pixels and extracted out the chlorophyll index for each of those pixels, the average chlorophyll index for each of the pixels. Once we did that, we had to look at, had to narrow down what scenarios we would consider. So obviously, at the top here, we have we have sensor data over all of these 24 rows. So the first scenario we looked at was data over every row, and from there we started removing sensor data. So our second scenario would be having a sensor over every other row, and we kept removing the sensors till we got down here at our last scenario was every 24 rows, so one sensor per 24 rows. Once we decided on the scenarios, we had to figure out what we would do with the boom, and we decided that we could either average the sensor readings across the entire boom or split up the boom into different sections. So this first case is one rate for the entire boom, which was 24 rows. We had the empirical data that we collected, and then theoretically we used this mean squared error equation to calculate the theoretical values. This equation has been used in previous research for spatial data such as this. In this equation, n is the number of sensors, and sigma squared is the variance for the entire boom. This first term is basically a penalty for low number of sensors. So as your number of sensors decreases, this value gets large, which greatly increases your variance. The second term is the percent of rows without a sensor, and this last term is the percent of rows with a sensor. So in this case, we are averaging the sensor readings across the entire boom. Now in this case, we're splitting we have individual rates per sensor, or in other words, one sensor per boom section. And we evaluated the empirical as well as the theoretical. This MSE equation is the same as in the previous slide, just now because there's one sensor per boom section, a couple of the terms have dropped out and another one has been reduced to two. The other difference is this sigma squared is now the variance of the sensor measurements for that boom section as opposed to the variance for the entire boom. So these are some of the results that we observed from our four fields. In each of the graphs, on the x-axis we have number of sensors, on the y-axis is the mean squared error, or MSE. The two thin lines represent the empirical data, and the two bold lines, the red bold line and the green bold line, represent the theoretical values that we calculated from the mean squared error equations. So this red line corresponds to the MSE as we increase the number of sensors across the boom, and we split up the boom into different boom sections with one sensor per boom section. The blue or the green curve corresponds to the MSE as we increase the sensors across the boom and average all the sensor readings together to come up with one nitrogen rate across the whole boom. So if we look out here at 24 sensors, this value right here represents having a sensor over every row and applying nitrogen to each row based on the sensor reading from that row, whereas here represents still having a sensor over every row, but averaging all 24 sensor readings together and applying one nitrogen rate across the entire boom. So in this example here, there's still some degree of error because the N is being applied based on the average across the boom rather than the actual sensor reading from that row. If we look back up in here, this value corresponds to having two sensors, or a sensor over these 12 rows, a sensor over the other 12 rows, and applying different nitrogen rates, splitting up the boom into two parts. And that resulted in a higher error than having two sensors still on the boom but averaging the readings together and coming up with one application rate across the whole boom. So we can see here, as we increase the number of sensors and average them together to come up with one rate across the boom, it gave us a lower error than if we split up the boom into different boom sections, until we reached a point out here where we had somewhere between 12 and 14 sensors. And thereafter, adding additional sensors, you would get a lower error by splitting up the boom into different sections. And this similar pattern was observed for all four of these fields. I think it's important to note that as a farmer considers adopting this technology, he's most likely not going to jump in and put a sensor over every row. He would most likely want to spend as little money as possible on the technology, and so he'd be concerned with this range back where we have fewer number of sensors. In the Schroeder field, averaging the sensor readings together gave us a lower error up and to the point of around 8 to 10 sensors along the boom. The South Linear field, there is a similar response as the Nemoc field, and Stubble field, averaging the sensor readings, gave us a lower error up until about 10 to 12 sensors along the boom. So once we decided that averaging the sensor readings to give us one rate across the boom was the way to go, we wanted to see, as we increased the number of sensors, what kind of benefit we would get along the boom. So in this graph, number of sensors is on the x-axis, percent reduction in MSE is on the y-axis. So we can see in this column, as we go from 1 to 2 sensors, there's a 52% reduction in the mean squared error. As we add a third sensor, there's an additional 17% reduction in the mean squared error. Thereafter, the reduction in the error remains fairly flat at 9 and 4%. So this would indicate that having 2 to 3 sensors per 24 corn rows, or 1 per 8 to 12, would give us the most benefit. One additional thing we looked at was the semivariograms for each of these fields. In each of the graphs, separation distance in rows is on the x-axis, variance is on the y-axis. The blue line represents the variogram, and the purple line represents the cumulative variogram. One thing that we learned from this was that there was some type of systematic pattern that was occurring in the Nemoc field. This pattern was also observed somewhat, not to the degree of the Nemoc field. It was observed in the South Linear field. These two fields are farmed by the same grower, and so they were planted with the same planter. One main difference between them is the Nemoc field tested low for phosphorus, soil phosphorus in the spring, whereas the South Linear, there's a sufficient amount, and so our hypothesis is that the planter was not applying the phosphorus starter fertilizer uniformly between the rows. And so therefore we'd expect this magnitude of cycling to be going on, whereas it wouldn't be as apparent in this field where they have sufficient amount of phosphorus already. For both of these fields, the cumulative variogram remains fairly flat, suggesting that if we place the sensors over adjacent rows, we would get the same amount of variance as if we placed them 23 rows apart. In the Schroeder field, overall, there's a general increase in the variance as we increase the distance between the sensors, and there's a slight increase overall in the variance as we increase the distance between the sensors for the Stubble field. So some of our conclusions: averaging the sensor readings across the boom, which was 24 rows in this case, resulted in a lower mean squared error than individual rates for different boom sections. 2 to 3 sensors produced the greatest reduction in MSE. Additional sensors beyond this didn't provide any substantial reduction in MSE. Management factors such as starter fertilizer or possibly soil compaction can result in the systematic patterns in corn rows. And a future study could possibly evaluate a split boom with multiple sensors per section, so kind of a hybrid of the two cases we looked at here. And that's all. Thank you.